Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Listen, Albert, it's been a weird season for the Browns, right? Maybe it shouldn't be unexpected that a young team with an inexperienced coach and a young quarterback and new chemistry would be up and down. But the extremes have been pretty big. I mean, you know, they were terrible against the Titans. They played a good defensive game against the Rams, some questionable mistakes. Then you play a great game against the Ravens. And then just a pathetic performance against the Niners. How do you explain what's gone on with this team so far? Can you?
Hard to explain it, right?
Yeah.
I certainly thought that they'd found something the week before, against the Ravens. And that's a good Niners team. I think we're going to find at the end of the year that team's a lot better than people thought coming into the year. And I really honestly believe this. Like, the team that we thought the Niners were going to be in 2018, they actually are in 2019. I can tell you, like, people in that building were, I would say, a little leery about all the expectations the year before because they didn't feel like the roster was quite there yet. And now I think you get the feeling, okay, like, you know, we're ready to contend. And to me, it was almost, guys, like there's like a parallel to the Browns there. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like the Browns last year, 2 years ago, the Niners finished the season strong. Just like the Browns last year, the Niners had a hot young rookie quarterback the year before. There are a lot of parallels there where, you know, I think that there were a lot of things going right for the Niners last year, but they weren't quite there yet. And then things sort of came undone on them. And maybe we found out that all the expectations were a year too early. I'm starting to look at the Browns and start to wonder if that's what we're looking at, because the offensive line, I don't know if that's fixable, and they've got depth issues. And I think that internally they knew those depth issues existed. And I think you certainly see it when they've had the injuries. I mean, like, look at what they're putting out there at corner now with Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward banged up. You know, I think you start to see where, you know, John Dorsey and his group, Elliott Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith, all those guys have had some time to have had a couple drafts now and have had a couple free agent periods to put the team together. But there's still, you know, some things that they need to work out as far as the roster goes that aren't quite there yet.
Albert, let's talk about Baker a little bit here more. This guy was so good last year. He was accurate. This year, he has not been accurate. He's thrown eight interceptions. A lot of fans are, like, off the Baker train. I'm not. I still think he's terrific. He has the talent and skill set to do big things. But, like, he's just been a little bit off this year. What do you make of it?
I think this is, like, quite honestly, sort of a result of the environment around him. And I'm not trying to take the blame off of him. I think, you know, he probably deserves some of this too. But, I was wrong. I thought, like, he'd be an MVP contender this year based on what I'd seen at the end of last year. And, that would sort of put him, you know, in the conversation with who Patrick Mahomes was last year, who Carson Wentz was the year before that. Those guys going into year two and just coming flying out of the gate. There are a couple of key differences. One, neither of those guys went through coaching changes going into year two. Two, those guys had experienced play callers. And three, those guys were playing with great, great offensive lines. You look at what Patrick Mahomes had in front of him last year, you know, Pro Bowl center and Mitch Morris, a really good tackle combination, Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher. Year before, Carson Wentz had Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, not to mention Jason Kelce and Brandon Brooks. And so, I sort of think it's just when a quarterback's that young, sometimes they can kind of go in whatever direction the wind blows them. And if things go wrong, then sometimes those really kind of show up in the quarterback's play. And if I had to sort of summarize where I think Baker is right now, that would be it. He's sort of gone where the season's gone and how the team's gone. And when things have gone wrong for the team, they've gone really, really wrong for Baker. And now it's on him to find a way to fight through that so it doesn't affect his development in the long term.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, the trade deadline will be here soon. Do you expect any big names to get moved? And do you expect the Browns to be active?
Yeah, I think there's going to be more. I think there's going to be continued activity. I shouldn't say more activity because there has been more activity the last couple of years.
Sure.
Last year we had Golden Tate and Amari Cooper and some other big names moved before the deadline. And I certainly think those calls are going to be made because you've got more aggressive general managers now. The trade deadline's a little bit later. Teams are a little bit more responsible in the way they manage their salary caps, so they have more flexibility going into the deadline. So, there are the big names out there. They're the guys who are unhappy. You know, Trent Williams, the left tackle in Washington, and Jalen Ramsey, obviously, in Jacksonville. And then I think you've got some other teams that are sort of in these situations where do we sell or do we not sell? And so I know that other teams are monitoring closely the Denver Broncos and how willing they are to sell off parts. And so there are guys there, Chris Harris, Manuel Sanders. I don't think they'll trade Von Miller. But Adam Gostis is another one. Guys that would be, sort of attractive to other teams there. A couple of those guys are in contract years, too. Atlanta, they've got a bunch of young players in contract years like Austin Hooper, Devondre Campbell, Vic Beasley. And so, I think that those, you're looking at a couple big stars, and then there are some teams that have some pretty good players that are in contract years. And because there are all these natural guys to be moved in that way that are out there, I think the phone lines are going to be pretty active over the next 3 weeks.
Let me ask you about a few other guys, Albert. Melvin Gordon, if you would. I know he's back and they're a contender, but Austin Eckler's been so good. I know Justin Jackson's hurt right now, but I wonder if he comes back, if they would consider moving him. And the Bengals, A.J. Green, right? I mean, it seems if he comes back, I don't know if he's going to be back before then, but would they trade some of their guys?
Well, and the Bengals have guys that teams would be interested in, too. I mean, Geno Atkins, like Carlos Dunlap, Kyle Reifert. I know he hasn't been able to stay healthy over the course of his career, but could be a tight end solution for somebody. I certainly look at those guys, and those are players that would be attractive to the other teams. I just don't know that the Bengals are going to do it because their history is to do those sorts of things. They haven't been the aggressor in these situations in the past. And I also think, trying to establish a program with Zach Taylor there, they're having enough trouble as it is winning games, and you'd like to, create some sort of foundation, and so that could be another motivator for them to hold on to their guys. But if you look at their history, they just haven't moved guys in the past, And so I know that it makes sense because they're not contending. I know that it makes sense because there are older guys in that roster who may not be around anymore whenever Zach Taylor gets the thing right. I look at their history and it just tells you that there's not a ton of background there that would indicate that they're going to be sellers at the deadline.
Albert, let's look at this matchup on Sunday. Seahawks come to town, take on the Browns. Browns just get boat raced, of course. But it's a pick 'em, And Adam and I were talking about this. I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns win this game. They're back at home. I mean, they played two games on the road. Baltimore, tough game. Then they have to go across country to take on a San Fran team that appears to be legit. Can the Browns win this game, in your opinion?
Yeah, they can win. I mean, look, this is a good Seattle team, right?
Excellent.
Let's start
4-1.
There. I mean, Russell Wilson might be the MVP of the league right now. Their offensive line's fixed, and their offensive line have been an issue for such a long time. They don't have star skill players, but they've got a lot of good, solid skill players. Guys like DK Metcalf made an impact as a rookie. Will Disley looks like a really good young tight end. Chris Carson's good in the backfield. So they've got numbers. They've got guys around Russell Wilson who can help them out. And I'll tell you, that defense still, after all these years, after losing all of those guys, they still can play. They're still really well coached. You've still got guys who can bring heat up front. And Ziggy Ansah and obviously Jadeveon Clowney, and they'll get Jerron Reed back, not this week. But so it's a good, solid team all over the place, a well-coached team. It's going to be a challenge for the Browns, but the flip side of it is that if you look at them man for man against the Browns, I don't think they're much more talented if they're more talented at all than the Browns are. And so if the Browns play the kind of game they played against the Ravens a couple of weeks ago, I certainly think they can compete with Seattle.
Albert, I said recently that if I'm starting a team right now from scratch, and obviously I wouldn't forget contracts, but I factor in age, I would take Patrick Mahomes 1 and Russell Wilson 2. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, Russell's what, 31?
Maybe only 30.
I think he's 31.
31?
I would definitely take Mahomes 1 just because he's younger. And, there are some other guys that would be in the conversation for me.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, I think, you know, when he's right, and the injury issue is there.
Yep.
So you're dealing with that, and that's not a non-factor. But Carson Wentz, when he's right, you know, is younger and will be in that conversation, I think. I'm not closing the door on Baker. I'm with Dustin on this. I still think Baker's got a chance to be a special, special quarterback in the league. I'm with you in that I would say, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Russell are right up there. I would say, like, just the only issue with Russell would be age. And so, you know, that's where, you know, a guy like Carson Wentz would have an advantage, or a guy like a Baker Mayfield would have an advantage. But, I think they're 1-2 for MVP right now. And, you know, certainly I think if you were building a team for the next 5 years, you know, forget 10 or 15 years, those would probably be the two guys you'd take right now.
You know, it's funny. One guy that neither one of us mentioned who's playing amazing football is Deshaun Watson, and he's getting worse protection than Baker.
Oh, well, I don't know about that anymore. I mean, they've
better?
Turned that around. I mean, Deshaun Watson was only hit once on Sunday, and that was against, I mean, I was against an Atlanta team that's been able to get over after quarterbacks in the past, you know. And so I think the one of the lessons you like want to take for the first few weeks of the season is that there's no price too high to pay for to fix an offensive line issue. You know, it was a problem at the beginning, and they were still kind of getting their footing with their new guys, but if you want to look at what they did, I mean, they thought that Titus Howard was going to be their left tackle when they drafted him in the first round. They wind up going and getting Laremy Tunsil. That allows them to kind of take the heat off of Howard, move him over to right tackle. But he's entrenched there where he'll be, you know, presumably for the next few years. And then you take another rookie that you drafted in the second round, you move him inside, and that's Max Sharping. And you already had a good center in Nick Martin. I'm telling you, like, I think the Texans have a chance because of that Tunsil trade. There's a chance we're looking at this in a month, and we're all of a sudden looking and saying the Texans have a major strength on their offensive line. And I know they paid a lot to get there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you guys are seeing – I mean, right now, you guys in Cleveland, you're living the other side of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can just – I mean, let me ask you this. Do you guys think that the Browns should have been in on Tunsil now?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Certainly. And because the Browns have three, in my opinion, three subpar offensive linemen.
Right. And so, like, if you watch the way Deshaun played on Sunday, he was fabulous, right? Like, he was great. And like, you see the way he's able to push the ball downfield when he has time and have it, like, unlock who Will Fuller was. And Will Fuller went bananas, over 200 yards receiving, right? And so now, like, you've unlocked who Will Fuller is, and so you've got Will Fuller plus DeAndre Hopkins, right? And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, like, now your quarterback's not getting hit. Fuller's getting downfield. Things are opening up for Hopkins, and you're lethal offensively. I think it sort of underscores how everything really does start up front. And I'll ask you guys this question. What was more relevant on Monday night, how bad Greg Robinson was or how good Odell Beckham is?
It was how bad Greg Robinson is.
Right. And so that tells you all you need to know, you know? And I think that's, I mean, to bring it back to the Browns now, like, to me, it's like that's the value of the Tunsil trade now. I mean, I know a lot of people haven't doubled back and corrected their opinion on the Laremy Tunsil trade, but suddenly, I would not be surprised if in a month or two we're looking at this and we're saying, holy crap, Deshaun Watson might be the MVP of the league. DeAndre Hopkins is having a career year. Will Fuller is back on track. And the Houston Texans are serious contenders. And it's all because that one trade allowed them to move other guys into places they were more natural in, and all of a sudden their offensive line just kind of unlocked everything.
It's amazing, and they've improved, as you say, because I mean, he's still been sacked like more than Baker. He has been sacked more, but
right. But like, look at last
week. It's better now.
They've started to turn that around.
Yeah,
and such a big part of offensive line play is communication and experience and all that. They're still starting to rookie, so they're going to be long. But I mean, like they've invested in it, and taking the time to invest in that and investing capital in it. Look, they spent their first and second round picks in this year's draft on offensive line, and then turned around and traded 2 ones and a 2 for Tunsil. So it's an enormous investment.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what has it done? It's unlocking their quarterback, you know? Yeah. And so you look at the way Baker's playing, it's hard for me not to – like here's why I have trouble really being that hard on Baker right now. Because it's hard for me to separate Baker's play from the way the offensive line's playing.
Yeah.
And I think until that part of the game is right for the Browns, it's going to be really hard to see who Baker truly is, no matter what the Browns do everywhere else.
All right, Albert. Good stuff as always. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.